Good morning. If you'll open in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9, starting verse 23 and 24, I'd like to look at a few passages from Jeremiah that are relatively famous. Let me read it and then we'll talk. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man, boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Jeremiah lived in a time where there was prosperity in Judah. He lived in a time where there was corruption in Judah. He was threatening Judah, while God was threatening Judah with judgment, saying that they were corrupt, rebuking them for their idolatry, telling them that they needed to repent or they would be captured, that they would be carried away and enslaved, and yet nobody was listening. They were saying things like, well, we have the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. And God was saying, well, the temple of the Lord doesn't do very much if I'm not in it, essentially. You don't rely on religion, you rely on God. They had hedged their bets. They had altars to all sorts of gods. They even sacrificed their children to those gods. So if God doesn't protect them, we have all of these other gods. And God was telling them, that's going to be a graveyard, folks. And they're going to name hell out of that after that place. That's what I think. But no. They had a better idea. They counted their swords and they counted their soldiers and they looked at how thick the walls of Jerusalem were and they had a better idea than God. They had their wise men who were so wise and Jeremiah was just this fool prattling on. They had their strong men who were so strong that the others couldn't stand before them. They had their army who was so strong that certainly anything that the Babylonians might send might withstand any onslaught. And God is saying, hey, you think you're so smart, don't brag on how smart you are. You think you're strong, don't brag about how strong you are. You think you're rich, don't brag about how rich you are. The only thing that really counts is your relationship to God. And if you don't have that, you don't have anything. And he's trying to break through Jeremiah, God through Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's preaching. He's trying to break through to a people who have deceived themselves into thinking that their own way was right, their own strength was all they needed, their own wisdom was all what they needed, and their own riches was all that they needed, and they were all sort of self-sufficient and didn't really need God that much. I mean, you take care of them once in a while and you put a few coins in the collection plate and you give them a few sacrifices and you just keep him at bay so he leaves you alone and I got it covered. Thank you very much. And what God is saying is it doesn't work that way. Does it work that way today? We think, so how many of us think that we've got it covered? I've got so much money in the bank. I have so much property, I have a future, I have an education, I've planned out my life, I know what's right, I know what I want to do and how I'm going to get there, and I really don't appreciate God messing with my stuff and my life. Has anybody ever felt that way or done that? I kind of think so, and I kind of cringe. And I kind of cringe when folks in our government start bragging about, well, we're the strongest nation on the earth and we have all of these weapons. And doesn't count for anything if we don't have God on our side, folks.
Amen.
The future that we line up for ourselves doesn't count for anything if we don't have God on our side. We think we've got the world by the tail, but we really don't. Not if we don't have God. If we don't know God, if we don't have a relationship with God, if we're not walking in His grace and belong to Him, we have nothing. In the parable, I guess you call it the parable of the vine, in John chapter 15, Jesus as much as says so. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Is that anything different from what Jeremiah was saying about God all the way back in the 600s BC? Saying, don't boast in your wisdom, don't boast in your riches, don't boast in your power, don't boast in your cunning or anything else. The only thing worth boasting about is your relationship to God, because He's the one who's the source of life. He's the one who's the source of fruitfulness. And without Him, you can't do anything. You only delude yourself into thinking you can do something. It's a flash in the pan. It's just a passing glimmer that isn't real. What is real is what God has to give us. What is real is a relationship to God that is genuine and long-lasting. Attachment to Christ produces fruitfulness. Detachment from Christ causes us to wither and die. And the branches that wither and die are thrown into the fire. We talked about that last week. And here's Jeremiah essentially preaching the same thing to the people back in the 600s BC. We trust in the wrong things, folks. We trust in the wrong values. We trust in the wrong wisdom. It's a truism, and I wish it wasn't true, but it happens and it works. If you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe it. The Nazi Empire was built on that foundation. You tell a lie loud enough and long enough, and you make it appeal, and you make that lie so persistent and so pervasive that everybody's saying it. After a while, everybody thinks it, and then everybody accepts it, and they're deceived by it, and they march by it. And that's how Hitler maintained his power. That's how Satan maintains his power. He repeats lies about what life is all about. He repeats lies about where we're going and what we're doing and what is real success and what really isn't success and all the rest of it. And we hear it so much from so many people. We just assume that it's true because we're swimming in this atmosphere of lies. Aren't we? What's supposed to make us happy according to our society? Pleasure, isn't it? Isn't our whole society based upon pleasure? The earthly desires, the earthly pleasures, go for the gusto, grab what you can get. If it feels good, do it. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody, but we're not too good about evaluating who we hurt and how, are we? And if somehow it doesn't matter if we don't know the people that we hurt or we don't like the people that we hurt, we get deceived. We listen to the earth's values. We listen to the values that Satan is advertising and over and over and over and over and over again. And we come to believe it. Joseph Goebbels, he was the guy who who invented this idea or promoted this idea in Germany, but it was around before that because Satan was using it, and Satan's still using it. Repeat a advertisement jingle long enough and you start to think that it's absolutely true. It takes a while to figure out that the product might be junk. You have to get snared and lose your money for a while before you figure it out. And all too often that's what happens. We live in an atmosphere of lies. We follow after our hearts and we just go wrong and it turns sour. And we don't know why. And then we feel gypped. We almost blame God because our lives are turning out bad. But it isn't God's fault. It's our fault. We've chosen lies. We've chosen falsehoods. We haven't chosen His way. We haven't looked for His way. We've just chosen to believe what is good and comfortable. That's what the people were doing in Jeremiah's day. They didn't want to hear that they were going to be invaded. They didn't want to hear that they were going to be turned into slaves. They didn't want to hear that they were going to be carried away in chains. That's bad news. Tell me how invincible we are. Tell me how God smiles on us. And tell me how the fact that we have so many different gods reinforces God. So we have all these gods in helping us. Tell me that. Tell me that the party is going to keep on going because it's so much fun. And I don't want to stop. That's what I want to hear, and that's what their prophets were telling everybody. And you have two competing messages. One is fun and the other is doom and gloom. And what one are you going to go after? What one do we go after now? Don't we go after the easy way too often? All too often we do. And all too often the easy way turns out to be the way of death. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, there's another saying that's very famous. And it goes right along with this idea. And I'm not going to read all of these passages, all of these chapters. They're filled with messages of God's punishment on people who are not going to repent. And what I'm picking out is the essence of the direction God wants us to go. And the way He wanted His people to wake up in Jeremiah's day, and the way He wants us to wake up today. I know, O Lord, this is Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. If you're planning out your own life, if you're planning out your own goals and not taking God into account, it's not going to be the way you want it to be. It's not going to be blessed by God the way it could be blessed by God. We don't typically pick God's way. We typically pick the way that is the easiest and the most fun, involves the least amount of self-discipline, self-control, the least amount of duty or honor, the least amount of struggle. We tend to pick what is the most pleasurable for the moment. Isn't that the way that people choose their paths? And the way is broad and easy that leads to destruction, Jesus would say. Many different ways, but one end, but that end is in heaven. The easy way ends in destruction. It's not in a man to direct his own steps. And yet, what does our society say? Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. 50 years ago, 60 years ago, when you heard somebody in public say, follow your heart, what they usually meant was follow your conscience. And that, at that time and that age, it wasn't necessarily a bad advice because more people's consciences were trained. We had an internal compass that was better trained And I'm not saying it was good, and I'm not saying that everybody's compass was trained back in the 40s and 50s, because it wasn't. But it was better than now. And you have a moral conflict, and somebody says, well, follow your conscience. You do a better job if your moral compass was already fine-tuned to God's. Right? I mean, you know, we have these guided missiles, and one of these things with these guided missiles is you have to set it so that it knows where it is, so that it knows what direction it's going in. It can't figure it out by itself. It has to have satellites that are a reference points, and it has to be accurately told where it is and where it's supposed to go, and then it can go there. But if it guides itself, it isn't going to hit its target. And the same thing with us. It's not within us just to say, oh, I've got wisdom, I've got education, and so and so, because he has a PhD, he knows all that there is, or somebody had a dream or a vision. If it isn't God's will, it isn't guaranteed, folks. If it doesn't go along with what God wants, it's not part of the path of life. And this is what and this is what Jeremiah is saying back then, and that's what he's speaking to us. Further along in Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 9 and 10. I'll read more of it in a minute, but verse 9 especially. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? The heart is deceitful. And Jeremiah was speaking about a truth that was existent in his age, in his day. He was speaking the truth about the people's unfaithfulness, but they would not listen to it because they were enjoying what they were doing at the time. And they were not going to believe that their idol worship, they were not going to believe that their injustice, they weren't going to believe that their way that they were accumulating riches was wrong. It was just too much for them to give up. No, that's not true. I'm not going to hear it. You know, there was a, I forget what the name of the song is. Maybe somebody can help me afterwards. It was a Simon Garfunkel song, and one of the lyrics was, a man believes what he wants to believe and disregards the rest. Isn't that the way it works? Isn't that the way people work? We believe what we want to believe. We do what we want to do. And everything else sort of gets in the trash can. The hearing aid gets turned off when certain passages are read or when certain things are said. It's just the way we want it to be. It's a cut and paste Bible. It's a cut and paste God's Word. It's a cut and paste religion. I'll take what I want from this, and I'll take what I want from that, and I have my way to get to heaven, and you have your way to get to heaven, but it doesn't matter. It's God who is the one who has the way to get to heaven, right? And we can't tell God how He is going to bring people to heaven. It's up to us to find His way. It's up to us to look for the truth. It's for us to look for His way and to submit to His way. It's not for us to make up our own rules. It's not for us to say, well, that was then and this is now and we have different customs now. Well, yeah, we have different customs now, but we still do the same old sins. That hasn't changed. The new morality is the same old immorality. The new religion is the same old unreligion, the anti-God religion. There hasn't really changed. God's word, God's character, God's will has not changed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the kind of person He wants us to be is the same. Today, yesterday, and forever. Don't be deceived. Don't let the world deceive you. Just because you hear something said over and over and over and over again, just because you see people acting on those things, doing it over and over and over and over and over again. Well, everybody does it. Everybody does this, that, or the other. Well, because everybody does it doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's true. Doesn't mean that God wants it. It's what God has to say that makes it right or wrong, doesn't it? And so when we start thinking we're wiser than God, when we start thinking that our plans are better than God's, that our actions are more enlightened than God's old-fashioned opinions, when we start thinking that we have the ability to get away with it, or that maybe God isn't going to watch this time, or I have a special dispensation and I'm giving myself, have you ever done that? I have, Usually when I sin, it's because I'm giving myself special permission, right? But is there such a thing? No. I really didn't. And I let myself and my heart be deceived. And God doesn't want us to do that, folks. Let's zero in on Him. Let's zero in on what He wants and surrender to what He wants. We live in a world that's just as messed up as Jeremiah's world. But we have a God who's just as reliable as Jeremiah's God. He's just as truthful and just as merciful and just as forgiving. And the same God that got Jeremiah through all of this mess can get us through all of this mess. Because He's reliable and He doesn't change. So let's keep our eyes open and our hearts open to Him. Let Him mold us rather than let the world mold us, please. I'd like to read the whole passage, a larger chunk of the passage, this last passage in Jeremiah 17, before we close. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water, that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Let's put our trust in God, who really knows what the truth is, and not be deceived by what's going around us. Let's be conformed to the will of God and to the will of Christ as we learn His will from His Word and follow after in the narrow path that leads to eternal life. If you want to, if you need the prayers of the saints, if you want to put the Lord on in baptism or have any other requests, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.